Well, I was in AR's class last week and this week on Sunday morning. And he got us to meditating this week on what we were committed to do and what we were going to do in our service to the Lord and make it different. And when a preacher gets to thinking about those kinds of things, it ends up in a sermon usually. And it did. And I sent that into the French's, and then I got to studying that more and more, and I thought, I'm not ready to preach this. About how far I was ready to tan my own hide about, now, Tommy, how far are you willing to go? And that's really what it was. What does the pearl of great price mean to you? And that's what I'm going to preach next Sunday. Because I had a problem. Had a problem deciding. Tommy, how far are you willing to go? I found that life was a bit distracting. How far was I willing to go to give up everything I have for the greatest pearl, for the greatest treasure that's been ever given upon this world, into this world? And we've received that gift. And I realized as I thought about it, it's because I was world-centered. It says you're not of this world. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. But the more I tried to think about it, the more I realized the world had too much into my thinking. True joy. If I have the things that God has given me, and it's the greatest treasure ever, and I'm willing to divest myself of everything to purchase it, then I won't be distracted. I'll be fully committed. And here was the thing I kept coming back to, because I found joy and fullness and contentment in the Lord. And I realized, Wiki and I talked about this some last night, that it's because we don't feel that joy and that fullness and find contentment, we are stirred up and we can't make the right decisions, or we don't make the right decisions. It's not easy to possess the proper contentment that brings spiritual fullness. But listen to this. Spiritual fullness brings contentment to us in the Lord. So as I struggled with that this week, I realized the problem is the joy and the fullness that brings contentment is what I'm missing in making the commitment. So I said, I think I better study and talk about that first, because, you know, usually if I get up a sermon, it's because I need it. You know that, Harvey? It's because I need it. You know, I bet you think I'm preaching at you, but it's usually I'm preaching to myself. Finding contentment. Oh, I looked at definitions. It means enough, sufficient, satisfied. I've got it. I have arrived. We don't know that language very well, do we? It doesn't seem to be something that really resonates with us. How often are we unsatisfied? We aren't satisfied with what we have, neither are we satisfied with who we are. I think that's the root of it. I think that's my problem. I think that's what the world does to us, and that's the reason the devil is called the god of this world. He puts something in us that is unsettling. We always wish we had something more, and we always wish we were like something else. but I'm always me. And I was always born where I was born, and I am who I am. And as that person, I have found the greatest treasure that has been given to this world. We first want to look at some scriptures. Just talking about the fullness ought to be of God. And then I'll give us some points to consider. Trust in the Lord. Trust Him and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will bring you the desires of your heart. He will make you everything that you ought to ever be. You'll be delighted with what the Lord brings you to be. That's what we need to be focusing on. What is the Lord desiring to bring us to be? Matthew 26, very familiar to us. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. I tell you what, I worry a lot about it. I'm just trying to be honest with myself. What you shall eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Let me tell you what. If you didn't spend a lot of time worried about thinking about what you're going to eat or drink, or about your body, or what you were going to wear, how much time would that give you in life? Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Can God take care of, He created us. He made us who we are. Just think about a bird. My wife loves, we got boxes outside our door, and our cat is delighted at all those boxes of those birds. Just sitting there dreaming of catching. But I tell you, we spend a lot of time looking at those beautiful birds. And those beautiful birds are just, that's just how God made them to be. Look at the birds there. They don't sow or reap or store away for the barns. Porches will feed them. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. He'll take care of them. Are you not much more valuable than they? If we look at all of nature, and we talk about nature just draws us to God. If we look at all of nature and see how beautiful it is, and you know what we say? We want it pristine. It's beautiful just like it is. Don't mess with it. There's something about us that's beautiful just like we are. Quit messing with it. Let God have it. It's got enough. It is enough. He can make it beautiful. For the pagans, good night. I heard y'all had some kind of class Wednesday night. I don't know what it went on in there. But I kept hearing that there was things talked about Wednesday night about coexist. Talking about them pagans. And we all talk about them pagans. But you know what? Pagans are talking, that's what they do. They're drawn to find their fullness, their joy, and their contentment with what this world offers. That's what pagans do. We look at it as about the religion, but that's what it's all about. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, as 1 John 2 says. Don't run like the pagans. The Lord knows what you need. Seek first. What's first? What's first? Above all, His kingdom and His righteousness. The kingdom. And that's what that parable is. And I'll start out with that next Sunday. It feels sort of nice to have your sermon ready for next Sunday. My wife said she didn't like it much because I've just been buried in my study. Haven't come up for air. And she didn't like that very much. Yesterday was a bore for her. That means I'm very entertaining. You know. God will take care of everything just the way you are. You'll just pursue His kingdom. And he'll give you all the things you need. You're not going to not have clothes and food. Don't worry about that. You're not going to not have it. You're not going to not have a place to live. Then he said to them, watch out. You hear somebody say, watch out. You better be looking. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Just you never are satisfied. You're just not full. It's just one more thing. One more promotion. One more place to go. One more outfit. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You try to sell that to the United States of America, and that just doesn't resonate. Because if I say Warren Buffett, who's ever heard of Warren Buffett? He lives in a little old house he's always lived in his life, just a plain old looking dude. There ain't much about Warren Buffett. He said he's been very successful in things of this world, and he's highly sought after. We're hunting for the people of great success. They are the ones that we're looking to, modeling ourselves after. So how can you ever feel full? How can you ever be with complete joy? And how can you ever be fully content? You look at Jesus, and now you want, if you look at Jesus, are we supposed to look at Jesus? How much of the Warren Buffett stuff will we find in Jesus? I would suggest zero. I mean, I don't know Warren Buffett. Maybe that's something wrong to say, but it's just a whole different thing. He doesn't even have a pillow, a residence, a degree, or. But this reading that Justin read for us, and I remember Scott using this verse one time, and he really emphasized, and it was one of the first times that I just really thought that is the major point of that verse is you got to learn this. You got to learn this. This is not something that comes natural to us. That's not how you've been trained, Mike, in this world. That's not how North Carolina is. That's not how Florida is. That's not how Alabama is. That's not even how Texas is, for sure. We got a lot of Texans, I had to say, for sure. I have learned. He had everything, didn't he? Didn't he have money, degree, and everything else there was? He says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Wow. Somebody says, well, you don't know my situation. Well, let me tell you. Paul knew most of them. And you say, well, he hadn't quite been what I've been through, and I understand that. But that means he gave up everything. He didn't get to have a child, a wife, a career that he was set to be. Who do you think's going to be the next president? Who knows? But he was set to be the new president almost for Israel in his day. I can be content in any, it's the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And here's another verse for us. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You put your mind and focus on God, and you find contentment and fullness there. Folks, you're rich. You're rich. You think about my granddaddy, who sat on a porch and worked all the time, but I tell you what, I spent days up there, and I did not like hoeing and picking cotton, I'll tell you the truth. But my granddaddy just seemed like the fullest guy. He just didn't seem like he had any worries to me. Just worked, and he just didn't have those things. He had a contentment about him, and I'm sitting there thinking, why didn't he want more? Well, he went to church every Sunday. And he was a good neighbor. And he worked hard. And he was full and content. Is that something you'd like some of? Is it something you'd like? I mean, we like to say, I don't want to go back to the farm. And I don't want to pick and hoe cotton. But you don't do that anymore. You just spray and run the machines now anyway. I might like that, okay, because the cabs of those machines are air conditioned. And you can carry your water bottle in there. But don't you ever think, well, boy, I just wish I felt that way. Just today's work, everything's going to be all right. I think we all do. Because he said this, you brought nothing in this world and you're going to carry nothing out of it. I think most of us are worried about this. And at my age, here's what you worry about when you get my age. I ain't worried about having one more thing. I just worry about running out of being able to take care of myself before I die. Now, I just want to be enough to take care of myself till I die. I'm not worried to think about what my children might get or anything else. I just don't want my children to have to take care of me. So you always got to worry, I guess. You always have a worry. People are retired, you got to worry. You don't want to run out before you die. But let me say what this says. I know I can't take any away. Everybody knows that. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Especially if it's because you're not content and satisfied and full of joy. If money and things have taken that away from you, it's taken away your possibility of really growing committed to God. Because I kept finding that problem this week. Some people eager for money have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. That's the things that make you full. I hope all of us are doing that. And you know, there's a chance all of us are doing this to somewhat in our lives. I mean, I'm not preaching because I just want to live a worldly life. I guarantee you that. I've done this for 40-something years in good times and bad times because I want all these things. But do we not all the time, sometime, all of us at some time have problems with keeping it in perspective? Keep your lives free from the love of money. But listen to what it says next. Be content with what you have. Are you content with what you have, or you just always got to have more? It's always something else. If you can't be content where you are. Now, let me tell you, I believe in working hard. I believe in doing a good job. If you're rewarded for it, I'm happy for that. Give it to people who have need. Rejoice in the Lord. I'm not talking about you got to be poor. I'm just talking about the attitude of where we are. And where is our fullness? Where is our joy? And where is our contentment? Wherever I am right now, be content with what you have. Because God said, I'll never leave you or never will I forsake you. Just like the birds of the air. Is that easy for us? Just be honest. How easy is that for you? You know what I thought about next week? I thought, man, what I was going to do this week, boy, I was going to tan your hide today. I'll tell you why I was going to say that. Because there's something I got from Lockbridge. You remember S.M. Lockbridge that did That's My King? I heard a thing about what he said about what preaching was. Man, it's challenging. Go out there and be committed. But we got to find out what we really want before we can commit to it. And if we can do that from where we are right now. Now I got something else to tell you. I got 7 points, and we'll go through them quickly, and I know you're glad. Always in pursuit of contentment, always in pursuit of fullness, always in pursuit of joy in the Lord. These points came from Pinterest. Y'all know what that is? Pin it? I don't understand it. I tried to figure it out, but it showed up on my email, these points. I think it was that comes from a thing that's, I can't even tell you. But anyway, you'll see the points. I didn't make these charts. How do you do this? Set your priorities. Take time to write, sit down and write what your real priorities are. And if your priorities, you say, what's my priorities? If you come out with a list, well, I want an iPhone 6, I'd like to have a new house, or I'm hoping to get a new car next year, and that list gets like this, and that's what your priorities are for this year, you're in trouble. Because you really have missed the point of this lesson, but that's good. That's okay. Because when I started talking about commitment, I had to look at it and say, well, what am I really looking to do here? What is my true priorities? What's the most important thing that can happen this year? What do I hope to accomplish this year? You know what, if I die tomorrow, what will I most be remembered for? It's a lot easier to be content if you consider what Jesus says your priority is to be. And what Jesus says about treasure is this. Can you read that? Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That ought to be our first priority about money. I'm going to store up myself treasures in heaven. And everything else, about my work, my attitude. What can I do? What kind of tithing, and I use that in quotes, can I do for the gospel? What can I do for people? What can I do? Set that your first priority, is to make sure you're laying up your treasures, your life in heaven. What does Colossians 3:2 say? Set your mind on things above. And what's the last part of that verse? What, Kevin? Say it again. Louder.
Not on things on the earth.
Do you have any problem with that? Maybe he'll come forward today. And if he does, I suggest we probably all need to join him, don't you? But that's where we got to set our priorities. We got to get those right. We got to get the spiritual mind on. Stop comparing. It's easy to say, but boy, that's hard to do. No matter what we have, we're always tempted to look and see what somebody else has. And all of a sudden, we see what they have, and now we want something else. And you know the worst thing, and this happened to me, boy, I tell you what, I hate, shame to say this, but I have. I've seen the success or talent of someone else, and it sort of negated my worth. Oh man, that person can really preach. Oh, they can really teach a class. Oh, poor me, I've been working this long, and I'm not that good yet. Reminded over and over again, Romans 12 and verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace that God has given us. No two people walk the same path. Nothing someone else has will fill the person who is already filled. Listen to this. Nothing that someone else has will be a temptation to fill somebody who is already full. If we're coming from emptiness, then we keep comparing and wanting. But when we come from fullness, when we come from joy, when we come from contentment, we need to understand what causes us to act like we act. My only job is to walk the path God has given me the best I can. That's all it is. I'm not to be like anybody else. I'm not to have what anybody else has. I'm to just be who I am because God made me and do it the best to glorify God. Change the message. Here's the point of that point. Do you ever feel like all your life is nothing but an advertisement wrapped, you're wrapped in the middle of an advertisement? From TV, to the mail you get, to the phone calls you get, to the computer you get on. I'm telling you, we got to cut some cords and we got to turn off some TVs and we got to quit listening to things. We get up, we don't need anything, we don't go shopping, but we've already bought five things before we get out of a chair. It's always something that it's going to make us happy, but we keep filling ourselves with things and we keep being empty because we're not full of what God has given us. And one more purchase will just make it better. That's the American way, and that's how the internet works. Aside from pornography, which drags people down an awful path, and it's dragging this nation down. And probably some of you in this audience today are having to deal with that. I guarantee you some of you in this audience are, because I've read enough to know how this secret cancer is eating away at the heart of our nation. My kids, anybody wants something, they say, Tommy, where, how can I get this? I love to shop and help somebody buy something. I'll find them a good price. I get a joy out of helping somebody find a bargain. Much of the message involves filling our lives with things that'll make us happy. Sometimes it's just a motivational message that says, you know, you could be better. You could look better if you got this little thing out, if you got this little thing out, if you got your little shot here, if you got on this diet, if you joined this gym. Contentment doesn't sell. That's nothing to do with American marketing. You don't see things as, y'all be content with what you got. you don't see pop-ups on Google. Be content with what you got. Probably the only real solution will involve changing the message. Drastically reduce the time you look at advertising and things and start focusing on the fruit of the Spirit. Start going out by that birdhouse. Get out, away, and look at how beautiful the birds are and start talking about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and think about those things. Count your blessings. Discontentment can sneak up quickly on us, but if we start counting our blessings, it sort of helps us be more content, doesn't it? We start thinking of the support system we have, the people in our lives, the country we live in. When we see, you look at the news for just a minute, and Wiki and I try to watch 30 minutes of news every evening. We record it. That's why we get to watch it. And you feel blessed. We watch the news where the last thing is some upbeat thing, the news. Rejoice always in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4-7. Try more intentionally. Start praying more, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Let me give you this too. Fifth thing was live passionately. Where's your passion? Is it the Lord? Then do it passionately. Do it with all your might. Let's crank it up and talk about the Lord. Let's feel the Lord. Let's walk with the Lord. Let's rejoice in the Lord. We need to feel, you know, what's the passion? When we talk about the passion, what are we talking about? The crucifixion of Christ. No people ought to be as passionate as we are because of what Christ has done for us. Jesus says, a thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give you life with all its fullness. John 10 and verse 10. God has this for us. God has what we want. He has a life that is full of fullness if we will just take. And because God is our love, how much is He our love? With all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. It is passionate. And we're to be the most. Some people say, well, where's the passion? Where's the spirituality? Well, it's not there if we're carnal-minded. But it's there. Live it passionately. Find positive friends. You got to get away from people that's just trying to climb the ladder of success and things. You just got to get away from them. You're going to join with them. You'll get the same cars. You'll get the same houses. You'll get the same clothes. You'll just have to have one more thing. Keeping up with the Joneses. We're going to change that name, but I don't know what we're going to change it to. You get up the name and we'll adopt it. And don't, porch is not an option. The best house, the most athletic kids, the biggest car, the biggest TV, this, that. If that's what we're around, it'll get us in trouble. That can be bad company, just like immorality can be bad company. Do not be deceived. Bad company will corrupt you. Pray for change. Prayer, prayer, prayer. It comes down to prayer. If I want to get away from that and find joy and contentment and fullness, I need to be praying about that every day. I need to be, first of all, most of my prayer needs to be in praising God and thanking Him for all the things I already have. And then I need to be asking Him for this that He's promised, this joy, this fullness, this contentment. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So, always in pursuit to be content. One, set your priorities. Two, stop comparing. Three, change the message. Get away from everything that's bringing you the wrong ways and getting your mind on earthly things. Count your blessings. Find positive friends. Find people that's got the right conversation. Try to convert everybody, but find friends who are in the right conversation. And then pray. Pray for change. Well, it's radical change. What is change? The greatest change. I didn't even know how to start. Being born again. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. From the very moment we become a Christian, it's a complete change. It's not of this world. You're born from the Spirit of God teaching you to be buried in baptism and rise to walk a new life. And it says in Romans 12 and verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy and acceptable God, which is your spiritual service. And look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't be in that conversation. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If you're here today and you want to make a change, the first and great change is to become a Christian. Being born of water and of the Spirit. And then as you're born of water and the Spirit, let's find out we're walking to a different beat. I'm just as earthly as anybody I know. I like comforts. But I realized when I just started examining my life that a whole life part of my life is all about stuff. It's all about stuff that keeps me from being committed to those things I need to be more committed to. Let's try to do better. If you're here and we can help you in any way, if you'd like to become a Christian, why don't you come right now, together.